Verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Some years ago, there was a ship called the Atlantic, and it was off the coast of Newfoundland, and I'm not sure exactly what happened with the ship, but it began to sink, and it did indeed sink. And on that ship, there was a businessman who had a small business in a town in the eastern United States. I believe it was Massachusetts. And he was reported lost. They closed up the store, his partner, his brother. The family mourned for this one lost at sea. And then, about 3 days later, a telegram was received by this man who was reported lost. And on the telegram, there was only one word: saved. They rejoiced. Store was opened. The telegram was framed and hung on the wall of the store for many years. Saved. It must be a wonderful experience to be saved from a sinking ship in the North Atlantic. I'm sure it must be. But you know what's much more wonderful? To be saved from a lost, Christless eternity. To be saved. The Bible teaches that we are born lost to God. And the moment that I accept Christ as my Savior from sin, I am then saved. Saved or lost? What about you here tonight? What could you write down concerning your state before God? When I first heard the gospel, I was 30 years old, 10 years ago, and a young man who spoke to me gave me a gospel tract. And the gospel tract was called Saved or Lost. It told the story of a young man who went to hear preaching, happened to go by it. It was an outdoor gospel preaching. And at the end of the service, he stood and listened to it. And the preacher said, "Now I want you to go home, everybody, and take a piece of paper and a pencil and write down one word tonight before you go to bed. If you're saved, then you write down the word S-A-V-E-D and sleep soundly. And if you're not saved, then write down the word L-O-S-T, lost. Write it down. Challenge them all." Young man went home. And he got a piece of paper and a pencil and he sat down by his bed to write down the word saved. But he couldn't do it. Because he wasn't saved. And he knew he wasn't saved. So he sat there meditating upon what the preacher had said. And the hours went by, that long night for that young man. At the end, he knew what he had to do and he did that. He turned from his sin. He acknowledged what he was. He accepted Christ as his Savior. Wrote down the word saved. That little gospel tract spoke to me. Because I could not write down the word saved. And so I came out to meetings just like this one, and I heard the gospel preached, and I'm happy to say that 4 months after I'd got this gospel tract, I could say I was saved through acceptance of Christ, the Lord Jesus, as my Savior. I didn't become religious. I became a Christian, Christ one. Because I accepted Christ as my Savior from sin. We trust tonight that perhaps there's someone here, a little company,
and you are not saved, you might realize tonight the danger you're in and accept Christ right here tonight in your seat. You can say, I am now no longer lost, but I'm a saved man. I'm a saved woman. Now, I'm sure we're all familiar with the account of Noah and the ark. Now, considering this verse, I want to consider this man as they consider the gospel. And it says, by faith, Noah. He was warned of God. He was a man who was warned of things not seen as yet. It had not yet rained from heaven. God told Noah there's going to be a flood. He was warned of things that he hadn't seen yet. And we are warned of God of things that we haven't seen yet. I haven't seen hell. I have not seen a great white throne with Christ upon the throne in judgment. I have not seen the lake of fire. But I know they exist because the Bible speaks very plainly and clearly of these very solemn places. We are warned of God of things not yet seen. In Job 30:26-18, it says, because there is wrath, beware. That's a warning from God. Matthew 3:7, it says, flee from the wrath to come. A question in 1 Peter, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? We're told in Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And it's so very sad to see people today not taking these things seriously. I spent a lot of time, and I'm glad I did, King Square in St. John, New Brunswick, where I was originally from, the square in the center of the city, and lots of young people go up there, and derelicts and so on, and I had a happy occasion speaking to souls about their condition before God. And oftentimes young people kind of laugh and snicker a little bit, and off they go. They weren't taking me seriously, and sometimes even older people as well. Little smile across their face, you know. Yep. Hell. Bible says a very real place called hell. An old preacher was preaching one time in the open air. And now he was all done his preaching. A young man came over to mock him. And said, oh, excuse me, sir. Could you tell me where hell is? The old preacher turned around to that young man and said, I'll tell you where hell is, son. It's at the end of a Christless life. And the smile left that young man's face because he knew that was the truth. It's at the end of a Christless life. Noah was warned of God. We are warned of God. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The Lord Jesus repeated it twice over. Very important. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And repent means I change my mind. I change my mind. I take sides with God against me. I am a sinful man. I am a sinful woman. And I no longer want my sin. I want Christ as my Savior. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In March of 1989, there was a 17-year-old boy, we're not sure why, tried to come illegally into the United States from Ontario on foot. A customs official saw him and gave chase. And he was closing in on the boy. And he told the boy to halt. I have a rifle. Halt. The young man stops. Hauls out a replica of a gun. Wasn't even a real gun. He turns around to the customs official with a replica of a gun. Now the customs official is standing 20 feet away with a gun like this. And when he sees this on behalf of the young man, he pulls the trigger and the young man is gone into eternity. Instantly. Now why did the young man die? Because he did not take the warning of that man seriously. And that's why people are going to go to hell. Because they will not take the warnings of the Word of God seriously. As though it was fable. Not true. How could God send me to hell? If you want the answer to that, friend, you read the Gospels about Calvary. Read the closing chapters of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll know why there is a place called hell. Why God does not send people to hell, but they choose to go to hell because they would not choose the man on the center cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was warned, and we are warned. Now Noah, he was wary of the warning. We read, moved with fear, as the margin says, being wary. He was warned and he was wary. That's a normal response for a warning, isn't it? To be wary. Last summer, my wife and I, we live on the border of the United States. Excuse me, the state of Maine. We were over into the department store called Ames one afternoon. And we saw something we wanted for one of our children. A pair of shorts he was looking for. But unfortunately, we had already made a purchase, and so if you bring anything over more than, say, $20, you got to pay duty. So we decided we wouldn't buy it right then. We'd come back again that evening. So we did come back that evening. The store is open. We go down the aisle, and sure enough, the shorts are there, so I grab them. We're going to go pay for them. So we're standing there like this in the store, and an announcement comes over the loudspeaker, and it says, "Attention all customers. Leave your purchases where they are. Leave your carts where they are. Make for the front of the store and leave the store immediately." Well, I'm going to tell you, there was nobody hanging around there. Gone. I laid the shorts down. What can I walk out and we're gone? What's going on? What is it, robbery or what? You know, I guess it was a bomb scare. And the point I'm making is this. There was a warning, and we were all wary of the warning, and we all left the store. That's a normal response. Another time we were sitting watching a high school hockey game in St. Andrews, New Brunswick, and the alarm comes on for the fire. Sometimes they'll come on all by themselves, and so it's ringing, and it's ringing, and it's ringing, and nobody's paying much attention, getting kind of used to the ringing, and the ringing, and the ringing, until somebody speaks over the loudspeaker and says, "Would everybody please vacate the arena?" I think in 30 seconds the place was empty. There was a warning, and we were all wary of the warning. Now the warnings from God's Word are much more serious than a bomb scare or a false alarm over a fire, because there wasn't any fire. The warnings from the Bible concern our future destiny in eternity. They are much more solemn and serious. Nothing to do with my physical life. God is warning us about eternity. And this life in which we live is nothing. And compared with eternity, we are all going out into eternity. And the warning is, if I don't get saved and trust Christ as my Savior, I'll be lost forever from God. The preacher John Wesley was in his backyard one afternoon, enjoying nature, the trees, and so on. And he heard this little sparrow kind of making a frightened sound, squawking, and so on. And he stepped into this little clearing. And he sees a little sparrow, and it's flying around like this. And John Wesley sees the problem as a hawk. And the hawk is coming down and coming down, has its eye on the sparrow, and the sparrow knows the hawk has its eye on it, and the little bird has nowhere to go. The hawk is coming down to get his lunch. So he's standing like this watching that scene. And then to his amazement, that little sparrow suddenly came right for him and went right inside the breast of his jacket. And the hawk came close to John Wesley, and then, of course, it veered off seeing this man standing there. After the hawk left, John opened his coat and the little sparrow flew away. And he said he thanked God for giving him a wonderful illustration that he could use in the gospel. And the illustration he used was this. Men and women are not going to seek refuge, a place of safety, until they realize they are in danger. Only when they realize that they are in danger will they seek a place of refuge. May God speak to your heart tonight. If you've never realized it before, you are in a very dangerous place. If you're not saved, you are one heartbeat away from going out into a lost eternity. The Bible says there is no hope for anyone who would not have God's Son as their Savior. Absolutely no hope. In the Psalms it says, Thou hast set them in slippery places, like one foot in hell and one foot on the earth. People living out their lives day after day after day, not realizing the danger that they're in. Dear friend, if you're not saved, you are in great danger. Thank God you're still alive tonight. Thank God you can still think clearly. And thank God you're here to hear the warning. Noah was warned. Noah was wary. And would to God you'd be like Noah. Noah was wise. What did he do? He believed God. And by faith, he prepared an ark. He was wise. And to be wise, dear friend, is to make preparation for eternity. Amos 4:12 says, prepare to meet thy God. And that is for me, and that is for you, it's for all in the world. The word of God is for us all. Prepare to meet thy God, your God, creator God. Prepare to meet him. And the Bible makes it so very clear and plain. To be prepared is to know Christ as our Savior. Then we are prepared for eternity. Is he your Savior? Is there a time in your life when you can look back? When you said, yes, Lord Jesus, I now receive you as Lord of my life and Savior of my soul. Are you sure of heaven or hoping to go to heaven? Thinking you're going to heaven. If you're hoping to go and thinking to go, you're not saved. Anybody who's saved, they know they're going to heaven. They don't doubt. If they're told they're going to die by the doctor within a few months, they're not afraid of the outcome of death because they know it's only a vehicle to bring them into the presence of God. Paul could say in 2 Timothy 4:6, it's recorded for us, his words, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. We do not know when the time of our departure will come. And that's why we must be wise and prepare to meet God by accepting Christ as our Savior. Noah was wise. In the days of old in England when they had court jesters, a king had they called them the fools, you know, they had the tassels and everything. I guess there was they entertained people that were kind of silly and so on. And the king called his jester to him one day and he gave him a scepter. And he said, now this scepter is for you. And I want you to hold on to it and keep it until you meet a bigger fool than you are. Then you can give the scepter to him. Well, the fool kept this scepter year after year. Time came when the king was stricken with a serious illness and he's going to die. So he's in his royal bedroom on the royal bed. And the fool goes in to see him. Now he's not quite sure what's going on. And so he's speaking with the king, O king. And the king said, well, I'm going on a journey. And the fool said, oh, you're going on a journey. When are you coming back from your journey? Are you coming back in a week? And the king said, no, I'm not coming back in a week. Oh, you're coming back in a month then, O king? And the king said, no, I'm not coming back in a month. Are you coming back in a year? How long is this journey? And the king said, I'm not coming back in a year. As a matter of fact, O fool, I am never coming back. And the fool said, what preparations have you made, O king, for your journey? And the king said, I have made no preparations for my journey. And the fool held out the scepter and said, O king, you take the scepter. For with all of my folly, I have not encountered a folly such as this. And what folly it is, dear friends, not to prepare to meet God. Just to live out your days. What folly is that? I have a little track here I use sometimes when it's fitting. It says, what must I do to go to hell? And here's the answer. Nothing. That's all you have to do. Just carry on the way you are. Just go on day after day, enjoying what you can out of life. That's all you have to do. Just don't do anything with Christ. And you will be in that awful place called hell. Noah was warned. And because he was warned, he was wary. He knew this warning comes from God Almighty. And so there's a warning in the Bible. And he was wise. He prepared that ark. And the last little point, he was welcomed. We read to the saving of his house. He was invited by God to come to the only place of safety. That was the ark. And God invited him and his family to come. Come thou and thy house into the ark. And Noah went into the ark and the Lord shut him in. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the ark of safety today. He is the place of safety. And he says to all in this world and to you tonight, come unto me. Will you come unto the Savior that you might be saved? Another little story about England. They used to have what they called toll gates and these old roads over there long ago with the horses and so on. And they had gatekeepers. And there was a man named Robin. He'd been doing this job for many years. He's a gatekeeper. And one night a man comes by on horseback and the gate is closed. And what you did, you just called out gates. And so he did. He called out gates. And from within the little house came the word, coming. So he waited. But nobody came. So he gets off his horse and he goes in. And he finds Robin, the gatekeeper, curled up in a corner on a little mat, sound asleep. So he woke him up and the man is very, very embarrassed by the whole thing. And he says to him, you know, I've been hearing gates for so long, and I've been saying coming for so long, that I can be asleep, I wake up and I say coming, and then I falls back to sleep again. And that's like people who've heard the gospel over and over. And they're saying inside unto God, I'm coming. Yes, not tonight, mind you, but I'm coming. Then they go out the door and they fall back to sleep. And on they go with their life. Just where the devil wants them to be. Stay asleep. Sound asleep until you die. Then you're going where I'm going. And that's where I want you. That's the devil's business, to amuse. And the word amuse means not to think. God wants us to think. And not to say coming, but I come. I come now, Lord Jesus, right as I am, right in my seat. I'm not going on any more in my life without Christ as my Savior. I do not want to risk going to hell. No, I know you don't plan to die tonight and hope you don't. How do you know you're not going to? How do you know? I've never seen so much traffic as around here. I'm not used to that at all. I like following Jim on the way home. I don't like going there myself in my car. And I think sometimes, you know, the cars are going so fast and the lights are changing and lanes and so on, how easy it would be to go out into eternity. And it's just like that. In St. Stephen, about 4 weeks ago, there was a man named Mr. Murphy. He knew my son, worked with him in high school, 39 years old, I believe. He was about 20 miles outside of St. Stephen. He's coming down with his wife and then his 18-year-old son in the back seat. And it's a little bit foggy, a little bit of land fog. But it's a clear night. He's driving along in his little car. And then all of a sudden he sees something very large in front of him, without warning, on a straight stretch of road. And his foot goes to the brake to stop that car, but not quick enough. And the car slams in to the moose. Huge thing. Mr. Murphy, who was planning to work with my son again this year, who would be working with him in about 2 weeks' time, was killed instantly. His wife, I believe, is still in the hospital. Though I'm sure the man had no... Last time I saw that man, he was coming out the door of the supermarket, and I just pulled up in my car, and I'm getting out. He knows me. And he's walking. He looked down at my car bumper like that, and I got a little emblem there, a little text that says, "The gift of God is eternal life." And he saw that emblem, he looked up at me, he turned around like that, and whoosh, away he went. He wasn't interested in the gift of God, or talking to me when I knew God. That's a sobering thing, you know. To think that a man or a woman here tonight, hearing that they need to be saved, they need God's salvation, or they'll be lost forever, and they won't take the warning seriously, and go out the door, just go on back to sleep, and then one day, it's going to come. It's appointed unto man once to die, and be in hell. With that awful memory to haunt for all eternity. Sitting in a gospel meeting, hearing the invitation going forth, knowing all they had to do was say, "Lord Jesus, I've had enough of this life. Enough of it. I want you as my Savior, Lord and Shepherd, and I now accept you as mine." Friend, that's salvation. There's a wonderful welcome for you too. Noah was welcomed by God into the ark. "Come," said God, "come." And they came and were royally received, and God shut them in. There was a young man who was brought up with very fine parents. I'm not sure if they were Christians or not, but they loved their boy very much. And he was a rebel. And he gave them an awful hard time. And his mother oftentimes wept herself to sleep, not even knowing where her boy was. And sometimes he'd be gone for 3 and 4 days at a time, didn't know where he was. Into all the sinful things, breaking his mother's heart, causing such grief to his father. One day he announces he's going to leave home, going into the city. Well, his mother loved him so very much, didn't want him to go, but his father had mixed feelings about it, because he saw what he was doing to his wife. Anyway, the boy goes off to the big city, and he has his fling. I'm not sure what happened to that boy, but he's thinking of home. He's thinking of mom and dad, and he's thinking, "I'd like to go back." But he's thinking about all that he did to his mother, all the grief he caused his father, and he's thinking to himself, "I don't believe they would take me back. I think my father was glad, and I'm sure mother now was glad too. Peace in their home, finally. I'm gone." What he does, he sits down and writes a letter to his mother and father, and he told them, he'd be on the train, told them the day, told them the time. So the train went by their home. You could see the train from their backyard. And the station just down the road a piece. And he told his mother in the letter, "If you want me back home, put a blue towel on the clothesline. If I see a blue towel on the clothesline, I'll know I'm welcome. But mother, I understand. I know what kind of son I've been. If there's no blue towel, I'll understand. That's what I deserve." The day comes on the train. Aaron's coming closer to his little town. Comes around the bend. He's anticipating, what am I going to see? Heart is pounding, and he misses his mother and father so much. And he's looking out the window, waiting for that clothesline to come into view. And finally it comes, and he doesn't see a blue towel. He sees a clothesline full of blue towels. The mother had gone out and got her hands on every blue towel she could find, and she hung them all up on the clothesline from one end to the other. The whole thing is blue towels to let that boy know there's a welcome here for you, son. We love you. That's a wee picture of the welcome that awaits you, friend. If you'll come to Christ tonight, He'll receive you into His family with joy, forgive you all your sins, and bless you abundantly. I guarantee you, you'll never regret the day you accept Christ as your Savior. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, well, may God speak to your heart. Why not come right now in your seat to Christ by faith, like Noah, by faith. Believe God, take Him at His word, and receive Christ into your heart and life as Lord and Savior. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we draw near to Thee, and we thank Thee for this time we've had to consider again the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We who are saved, we thank Thee for forever saving us and waking us up to our condition, our danger. We thank Thee for the warning, Father, that caused us to consider where we stood before Thee, a holy God. And Father, we just pray now for any in our company who perhaps have never realized their danger, who have never accepted Christ. We just trust that they might receive what they've heard tonight, O God, as from Thyself, and that they, Father, might agree with Thee and turn from sin and say, yes, Lord, I believe, I will come now to Thee. Father, we commit each one to Thee. Thou knowest the condition of all in this room. So we commit each to Thee, asking Thy blessing, Father, knowing and confessing that salvation is of the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Well, shall we just sing in closing two verses of number 251. Thank you so much for coming, and as you've heard already, tomorrow night, God willing, we'll be here again at 7:30. 251, there is life in a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto Him and be saved, unto Him who was nailed to the tree. And it's that simple, a look of faith to Christ. That is salvation. Let's sing verses 1 and 4 of 251, and our meeting is over. And again, thank you so much for coming.
There is life in a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto Him and be saved unto Him.